You know, last week we talked about raising children, pastoring the flock, how they're just about similar. And the Apostle Paul talked about being a father to the church at Corinth, I believe. He says, you've got a lot of masters, but you don't have many fathers. Of course, we know in the scriptures that the Lord gives us much instruction about how fathers are supposed to train their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. He gives instructions to mothers as well. And we understand that there are some things that you suffer long with as a parent. For those of you who don't have children or husbands or wives, you don't really know much about suffering long in that way. But while Paul was talking about the fathers, he and that how important it is. Did y'all know being a parent is one of the most important jobs in this world? Now, the world belittles people that want to pour their heart and soul in it by staying at home. Stay-at-home moms, they're degraded and really looked down upon in this world. I mean, the world looks down upon that because you're not thinking about yourself and bettering yourself and advancing your status in our culture. God has a different view about that. Whose view do you think is right? And as parents, we train up our children in the way that they should go. And the Bible says that when they are old, they'll not depart from it. But I'm not going to talk about raising kids today, but keep that last sermon in your mind while we talk about this as far as the development of children and how they are supposed to be reared, trained, and how different each one of them is. I've got two kids, children, and I mean, you know them. And both of them are completely different. Amen. They are. I mean, their personalities are different. The way that they operate is different. The way that they think is different. Their demeanor is different. How they conduct their lives is different. Now, both of them didn't keep up their room like they ought to, but, you know. So there are some similarities, you understand, that all of them have. But both of them have a lot in common in that they have one father and one mother. Right? Every child has one father and one mother. Let that sink in. You may have surrogates that stand in the place, but you have one father and one mother. Now, who's our Heavenly Father? Well, it's God. That's one of His names. So all of us, in terms of that, have that in common, right? We have that in common. Something else we have in common is Jerusalem above, the mother of us all. That's pretty neat, isn't it? Where we're going and the direction that we have is in heaven. That city above, Paul calls it a mother. It's a mother of us all. And I don't think that's talking about the way we would think, just on the surface, as a mother. In that context, Paul was talking about, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace, He says, I immediately conferred not with flesh and blood. But He says that in terms of that, this life, this mother that He had, was different from Jerusalem above, that who's the mother of us all. But and I think that He's talking about not only His natural mother, I think He was talking about Jerusalem down here. Got it? What that Jerusalem taught Him. How that Jerusalem brought Him up. How He operated in that Jerusalem. But the Jerusalem above, which is the mother of us all, teaches all of us the same thing and trains us up the same way. All of the children, right? It's how your house is conducted. Think about, you know, Sonia and I conduct our house, hopefully, in a godly manner. Hopefully, prayerfully, we trained up Hannah and Drew. We made a lot of mistakes. But praise the Lord, they made it to this age. But my house is conducted differently than your house, or your house, or your house. Paul's saying that this house that I was trained up in Jerusalem here, it was conducted differently than the Jerusalem above's teachings. And that's the mother of us all. So we got one mother and one father. It's pretty neat, isn't it? You know, when God uses a type, He uses the right kind of type. So God is our Father, and Jerusalem above is our mother. I think He's talking about us being taught from heaven. And we're the children of God. And what a great way for God to set it up so that our natural bodies, our natural lives, to help us to understand what's going on spiritually. Now, when God said that we're children, we have bodies. And if Jerusalem above is the mother of us all, then We got a father and we got a mother. So, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now I want us to remember that the way that God conducts His house is different than the way everybody else conducts theirs. And God don't change. One of the most important things in training children is to be consistent. Amen? You don't discipline them on a sliding scale. You don't say one thing to them one day and then oppose what you said yesterday today. Right? I mean, you don't get mad at them and whoop them one day because they kicked the dog or something. And then the next day when they kick the dog, you let it slide. I mean, that's not good parenting, is it? That's inconsistent. It's a way that the kids don't ever know what to expect from you. And if you say you're going to do something and you don't do it, you're lying to them. Aren't you glad God don't do it that way? Aren't you glad that God don't change, and when He said something, it's going to come to pass? It will be that way. If we act right and do good, He said you go have a blessing. He said, but I've been reading in Deuteronomy when the children of Israel have wandered around in 40 years, around 28 through 30. And Moses and God told them some pretty harsh things about if I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. And, you know, they got a choice of whether they want to live in blessings to God or if they want things to turn out bad for them in their life. So God don't change. And He don't let things slide. And but aren't you glad He's very gracious and long-suffering? And I would admonish each parent out there to be long-suffering with their children. That doesn't mean appeasing them. It doesn't mean let things slide. But you got to tell them one more time. You got to train them. You got to keep training them over and over and over and over until they get it. Right? That'd be nice if you could tell your kids or show them how to tie their shoes one day and boom, they just see you do it once and they do it and they start doing it and they go on with it. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? It'd be nice if I told my... I'm going to use Hannah again. If we told Hannah, okay, Hannah, here's how you clean your room. We showed her, and every time we went in there, it was clean. It'd be nice, wouldn't it? But that's not the way that it is, is it? When you potty training a kid, you'd like to show them one time and not have any more accidents. Right? It'd be nice. But that's not the way it is. So we have to be long-suffering if we're going to be an example of God to our children. Right? And if we're going to, and looking at it in a spiritual sense, it'd be really nice if God told us to do stuff one time and we did it. the first time. It'd be nice, wouldn't it? I wish I could do that. But I don't. You see, He tells me what to do, but I don't always do it. And it would be a whole lot better for me if I did do what He told me to do every time. Isn't that true? I mean, are you that good? Does God tell you to do something as a father and you do it every time? If you do, then wow, I'm impressed. I'm so impressed that I'm going to come live at your house. Maybe some of it will rub off on me. But Paul, in all of this, Paul talks about the church. And he talks about the body of Christ. We've got God the Father. I mean, Jesus called God His Father. We do too. We should. So Paul, this is a long, this don't stop just here in the 12th chapter. I mean, it keeps on going, but Paul says, he's telling this church in talking about the body. Now remember who the church of Corinth was and what they had in it. And how they weren't taking care of their house. But Paul did, he chided them, but he didn't dismiss them. And he called them a church. Now in that church, or in that body of Christ, in every body of Christ, God gives gifts. Okay? And it's just like how my children are different, are so different. They're still mine. And each one of them has a gift, a personality. Each one of them has something that they're really good at. And I don't expect Drew to be like Hannah, and I don't expect Hannah to be like Drew. I don't want them to be the same. You understand? Because they're individuals, and they both bring something special to the family. You understand? So we're the family of God, right? And God doesn't expect every one of us to be the same. Certainly, we're all not the same when you're thinking about the whole family of God. But Paul's not, you can apply this, some of this to the whole family of God, but Paul's talking to this church about their local body and their spiritual gifts. Paul says in chapter 12, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." Paul says, I want you to know what your spiritual gift is, and I want you to know how they're supposed to be used. That's what he's talking about in not being ignorant. He didn't want them to be ignorant. He didn't say they were dumb. He just said, I don't want you to not know. So I'm going to tell you. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. That means you were trained up by a bad parent. Maybe not your own mom and daddy, but probably so. They taught you by the things that you grew up in, that you were led this way to worship idols. And Paul's saying, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, why did Paul put that in there? He put that in there to kind of set a precedent for them that if you're really have the Holy Ghost, if you're speaking by the Holy Ghost, you're not going to call Jesus accursed. And you can't speak that way by the Spirit of God. And by the same token, on the flip side of that coin, no man is going to say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Right? So, he says, now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Han and Drew have different gifts that they bring to the family, but yet both of them were taught by the same parents and grew up in the same house. Got it? Now, he's talking about spiritual gifts now, so he's talking about the spiritual house. He's talking about the spiritual people in the spiritual house and the gifts that God gives them. You remember we talked about a few weeks ago about the gifts that God gave, salvation, then he gave gifts to the to men for the edification of the church, and then he gives gifts for the edification so that the church would edify itself. Later on in chapter 4 of Ephesians, this is what I'm talking about. The church gave those gifts so that she would edify herself, itself. He says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations. You know what that word administration means? It means it comes from diaconia, where we get deacon from. There's different ways to minister, to administer blessings. It's, you know, I mean, that's what a deacon does. He administers blessings. He takes care of the business of the church, and he, back in the early function of the deacons, what they did was they were supposed to minister to the widows, and because they were neglected in the daily diaconia, administration, right? That means that they had food, and that some of the, they were showing favoritism then, and some of them murmured because of the favoritism. And so the office of deacon was set up to take care of that. So, number one, that there'd be no murmuring or schism in the body. But number two, that the people would all be ministered to the same. That everybody would get kind of the same thing. And Paul says there's different ways of doing that because every body is different. I mean, every church body is different. Every local body is different. That's what Paul's saying. Every church has different needs. I was at a church down in Atlanta not long ago, and that church was the probably the most, now when I say ornate, I'm not talking to look like the Taj Mahal or nothing like that, but I mean it was, you could tell they had plenty of money in that church and that they were blessed to use it. Now their needs, and this church at Corinth was rich. Do y'all know that? This church at Corinth was rich. They had a lot of money in that church. It's that body looks different than this body, right? They had different needs than this body does. And Paul's saying there's just differences of administrations and things that need to go on. But the things that go on here ought to be the same Spirit, with the same Spirit of the administration in Atlanta, or New Jersey, or wherever, or Africa, or wherever it is. It's the same spirit that the people are ministered to. He says, and there are differences of administrations, but the same spirit, the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations. You know that operations, where that word, what word is that? It's energio or energiomi or whatever it is, but it has its root in energy. There are different, and it means to work. He said there's different way to work this thing. And everybody don't look the same. Everybody don't work it exactly the same way. But it is the same God which worketh all in all. Do y'all see that point? How this church looks different than the church in Africa, or the church in Atlanta, or the church in Dallas, Texas. This church is different than them. They're different than us. But you know who's over them? The same Father and Mother is God. And Jerusalem above. That they're all taught in the same house. Right? So Paul says that that's something that we all have in common, is the Spirit and the Lord and God the Father, and is all in all. But get this. He says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. Why? To profit withal. So why does God give spiritual gifts, give the Spirit to His children? It's for them to profit. Now what does profit mean? If I have a job and I make $100 a week, and I spend that $100 a week on my food, and I live very scantily in my life, and that food is all that I spend that money on, just for sustenance, am I making a profit with what I have? I'm going to spend it all, and then I'm going to have to work another week and spend all that, and I'm not going to make any profit off of it. I mean, I'm going to sustain my life with that food. Y'all picking up what I'm putting down? We can sustain our spiritual lives by coming to church. We can sustain our lives by just eating on Sunday morning. But that's not the reason that God set up His kingdom. He set up His kingdom to grow, didn't He? He set up His kingdom so that He would be glorified and the people be profited. Now, I ain't talking about boatloads of money. I'm not talking about health and wealth. I'm talking about spiritual profiting. Okay? The kind of thing, and this is a principle the Lord taught in the Sermon on the Mount. That He said, you provide yourselves with bags, heavenly bags, and you take the things that you treasure, not where moth and rust doth corrupt, but that which is incorruptible, talking about the spiritual things. And you lay those treasures up for use, right? You lay them up. That means if you're going to lay something up, you profit it, right? You don't just spend it. You spend some of it, right? We're spending part of it now, but we also ought to lay some treasures up so that we can use that and get more profit. Now, what does that look like? Well, Paul keeps going on. I mean, it looks like what Paul's fixing to say. He says, given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Have you all ever seen people? We got several in this church that if I had a question about something, I would seek their wisdom. But I wouldn't seek the wisdom of everybody. You understand? I wouldn't go to Caleb and Aaliyah right now and ask them what they thought that I ought to do or to seek their counsel for something, for some great spiritual burden that I have. Would you? No? But you know what I might look to them for? I might look for them to sing. I might look to them to exercise their gifts. I might look to them to maybe see the joy in something that I had forgotten. I might look to them to remember how to play. You see that? They're needful for this body. They're needful for me. Just like Brother Howard is needful for me. Brother Chuck is needful for me. I can go to them for counsel and I can speak to them. I can tell them what's on my heart without fear of them ripping me to pieces. You understand that? I can confide in them. Now you might not can confide in everybody in the church, because everybody don't have the gift. But Paul's saying that one man is given the Spirit, by the Spirit, the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. If I have a question about something, maybe it's nursing. I'm going to go to Kathy and Hannah to ask them a question about nursing. If it's a question about figuring out how to do something out here, or I'm going to go to George and Drew to figure out about engineering. Okay? Help me problem solve through this. That's what Paul's talking about. There are people that have word of knowledge. Now, I think he's talking about spiritual knowledge too. Don't get me wrong. But you can apply that even in the natural part of taking care of the physical house, not just the spiritual part. If I've got a question in the Scriptures and I don't know what they mean, I'm going to go to somebody who knows. Right? I'm not going to go to somebody who don't. I mean, I hate to use the kids so much, but Caleb, I'm not going to go ask him what he thinks the seven candlesticks are in Revelation. Not yet. One day I might. To another, faith by the same Spirit. Does everybody use their faith the same way? Now, God's given to every man a measure of faith, but some people have a greater measure than others. Y'all know that? Some people have just a great gift to not let this world bother them. And they trust in... Have y'all ever seen people like that? That they say, Lord, I just don't know how this is going to go, but I'm trusting God. We trust in God. We're going to go. I know people like that. And they're needful for the body. And the purpose that each one of these gifts is in the church is for the church's profit, for the body's profit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Now, I don't know exactly what that means. I know that in the early church, God gave extraordinary gifts to the apostles. Right? He did. I mean, the apostle Paul raised one of them from the dead. You remember when boy that was up in the loft and he fell out of the loft because Paul was preaching all night long, and it was so bad the boy fell out, he fell asleep, fell out of the loft and died. And Paul went down there and laid his hands on him, and they just went back up there. And I imagine Paul kept on preaching. I don't know that. I just knowing Paul, I would expect he kept on going. But whether it's talking about physically or spiritually, we got some people in here that know how to heal things. I do. I can tell you what to do with some rehabilitation if you've got some problems, certain kind of problems. I can help you with that. Kathy and Hannah, nurses, they can help you with that kind of thing to help you understand what to do. But if you've got some spiritual trouble and you got some spiritual healing, you might come to me for some knowledge and I might be able to help you. I might be able to tell you what to do. I might even be able to heal you that way, spiritually. Of course, by the same Spirit of God. It's not going to be for my puffing up. None of our gifts, let me say that right now, none of our gifts are to be exercised or used for our own puffing up. Right? I mean, I hope we all understand that. It's not for you to exercise your gift to edify yourself. You know what I mean? If I preach, and I preach because I want y'all to think of me as some big shot preacher, then that's not doing you any good. It's not helping the body. It's helping my ego a little bit. If y'all, if I like the schmoozing, and y'all said, well, he likes the schmoozing, so we're going to schmooze. That wouldn't do any good for anybody, would it? Because I would be preaching with a wrong spirit. I'd be preaching with my own spirit instead of the spirit to come from God. And you'd be treating me wrongly too if you'd schmooze me. He says, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits. Have y'all ever seen people that were more perceptive than others? I'm not very. I mean, naturally, I don't. Sonia can pick up on little bitty things, and I'm like, what? And then, Hannah's that way too. Colton's finding out. And so, if she tells me something, I know by past experience that she's probably right about something. And I'm going to trust her judgment about it. Because that is a gift that she's got, is perception. And she can discern spirits too. I mean, I've thought somebody was one way and she was like, no, that's not why they did that. And so she said they and I thought, but no, it always turned out the way, almost always turned out the way that she perceived. to another divers kinds of tongues. I'm going to hit that one day just specifically about speaking in tongues, but I'm not going to do it today. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit. You know that worketh there? What word is? Energy. Energy. You can't exercise your gift to profit without the energy of the Spirit. This is good stuff to me. I mean, it makes sense. Now, he says, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. That means some people, I think you could take from that too, that some people have several gifts. And I hope you have several gifts. I know you do. Everybody has the ability and the gift to pray, and the duty to pray, and the privilege to pray. Everybody has that gift. Even if you can't talk, you can pray. And sometimes, some of the older ones, like Sister Penny, do you know she still prays for you? She still asks about you every time. Her heart is with, and she, right now, she's probably praying for us because this is her greatest joy. She said, oh, I wish I could come to church just one more time. She still prays. She's still exercising her gift, whether you know it or not. Right? That's a blessing. Now, and it's a blessing to the body. But yet it's not that visible. There are some things that happen in the body that people do that are not that visible. Doesn't have to be visible for it to be a blessing to the body. But it'd be really nice if you could do some visible things, that we would do the visible things. I mean, I was sitting there and we were singing the next to the last song, and I got up and I went to the bed. I was singing in there. You couldn't hear me. Oh, I was humming. I wasn't singing all that loud. But when I left, what happened? Was anybody singing bass? Mm-mm. Nobody was singing bass. What did the music sound like? I mean, I'm not saying it wasn't good, but was it lacking? Was there a part that got up and left and was absent? And when the bass part was absent, the music was not as full, was it? So I neglected to exercise my gift, even though I was singing in there. It didn't do y'all much good because you didn't hear it. So there's some things, some gifts that are exercised that nobody knows. And there are some gifts that need to be exercised for the unity and the sweet music of the body. I'm not just talking about singing. Y'all understand that. I'm talking about presence at church. You know, when you're not here, you're missed. Greatly missed. And not just missed by me. I said that right after I'm going to be gone next few weeks. But you know what? While I'm gone, I got somebody to fill my spot.
Different.
Huh?
They're not cheap.
Well, they still fill my spot. You still get preached to. You still get to enjoy a different gift. It's not my gift, or at least the administration of it and delivery of it is not my gift. But it's still a gift. Now, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. And I'm going to stop it there. And I just want to reiterate, there's not a one of you that's an appendix or a gallbladder or a tonsil. Every one of you are a vital organ. Vital organ. I want you to figure out which one you are. What part of the body of Christ are you in this local body? I'm not just playing. I'm not just preaching the word to you and hoping you'll get it or forgetting about it, and then we'll come next week and I'll preach to you again. No, this, I want you to really figure out what you are and what your gift is to this body. Because it's important to its function. It's important for its edification. It's important to its profit. And it's important for you. It's important for you. I'm done. The doors of the church are open for reception of members. May the Lord bless you this week to figure out what your gift is.